Come, whoever you are. The doors of this church are open to everyone. And when we come, we bring with us the light that burns within us. And with that, we kindle our common flame. As Jack Settler lights our chalice, I invite you to turn to the chalice lighting words. We'll read them together, printed in your order of service. I rise to tell my story, to tell my prayer. A thousand, thousand tiny sparks, and I am one. A bit of burning dust of gratitude exacting, of light turning to praise. To begin with some words from our great religious educator of the past, Sophia Lyons-Sfars. From out of the glory of the morning skies, the life-giver calls to us, arise, out of eternity, behold a day, a gift for you to spend some way. What will you do with it, I say? From out of the glory of the setting sun, the life-giver calls. What have you done with the day that has gone? Nevermore will the day return, however strongly you may yearn. Use wisely, then, this gift to you, fresh from God like heaven's dew. Miracles are waiting in it of beauty you can create anew, of love reborn, of efforts true. Your heaven may be hiding in it. Use wisely then life's gift to you. I hope you all see a familiar face that you haven't seen here in 6 weeks back among us. So, Michelle, where have you been?
Many people think that sabbatical means you travel to Mexico. That is not true for me.
Yes, it is.
For 50% of us, that's true. I actually stayed at my house in Natick. We did go away for one weekend to Mystic, Connecticut.
So you've been on sabbatical?
Yes, I have been.
What's that?
A sabbatical is a time where you kind of step away from your job and you pursue personal and academic endeavors.
And could you tell us a little bit about what kinds of things you pursued while you were on your sabbatical?
Sure. I focused on three main things. One was, there's a program, it's kind of like getting a master's degree, and it's called professional credentialing for DREs, or Directors of Religious Education. And it's by the UUA, and you get matched with a mentor. And there's 16 different categories that you have to do readings and reflections and papers on, and then you have to take this big oral exam or do a big project at the end. And I really started getting into that. There wasn't much time to do that when you're actually working. So I read about 4 books during those 6 weeks on that and did some reflection. And I also started writing a curriculum for our Red Team, which is the littlest pre-KK kids, on UU messages from folk and fairy tales. So I'll finish that up over the summer. And then I spent a third of my time just organizing my physical space, which is amazingly cathartic.
Great. So how do you feel now you're coming back as opposed to when you left?
I feel much more relaxed and rested and probably more enthused as well.
Good, because we have a lot to do. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And that's our message today, because we think it's important for our children and youth to understand this concept of a sabbatical and how it works and what that brings to us as a congregation as a gift. You know, not every congregation give their directors of religious education a sabbatical, and I'm very proud of the fact that this congregation does that for our directors of religious education. I know as a minister how important that time is for renewal and getting new ideas and, you know, kind of catching up with all that's been flying by you. So it's something we can all be proud of, and I'm glad you had the benefit. Sure.
If I were here for joys and concerns, I would have said this. I said this morning. But in line with what Tom said, there's very few churches that give their DREs this chance to take a sabbatical. So I thank each of you for creating an environment in this church that allowed the board to put that as part of my job description. And I also really need to give a big, huge thanks to the RE committee, because they really worked very hard to make sure everything went smoothly while I wasn't here. So thanks to all of you.
And I was going to add my thanks to that, too. Thank you to all those people who made it. We didn't even notice you were. No. We did notice very much. But things moved very smoothly because everybody stepped in. And I'm not going to pick out all the individuals. Lots of different people stepped in to be Michelle while you were away. So thanks. Thank you to all of them.
Blessed Spirit of our lives, Spirit of hope and compassion, of courage and moral purpose, known by many names and many different traditions and by no name at all, speak to us again this morning. First, quiet us so that we may hear what that still small voice is saying, what our life is trying to tell us. But in our busyness, we often fail to hear. Remind us of all that we have to be grateful for: family, friends, community, the blessing of children in our lives, and for those friends and family who are no longer with us, but who in their time gave us the gift of love, and by whose example we learn to live better lives. Help us to acknowledge our gratitude for good health and quality medical care and warm homes and abundant food on our tables and the benefits of living in a country where we are free and safe from danger. We have so much. Help us to find more ways to share it. Help us to see all that is possible in our lives. There is so much we have yet to imagine. Yet still we all struggle. Help us to meet the difficult situations of our lives with courage and an open mind and heart. Let us meet the challenges we face with honesty and good spirit, but also with hope and love and resolve, and the knowledge that here there are others to help us when we need their help. Help us to let go of anger and forgive others who have wronged us. Spirit of great mystery, teach us to listen to others and to ourselves. Help us to live worthy lives of both self-fulfillment and service to others. And indeed, when our time on earth is done, let our love be our greatest legacy. Amen.
Travelers on our journey, help him.
Indeed, we're all travelers on a journey. And this morning's theme is reflecting on that journey. I wish to share a reading of a poem by Mary Oliver that has that title, The Journey. And I wish to share it especially today because it's a very special poem for me. It is the poem that in my life, as I was sort of debating and moving and making that change from being a trial lawyer to going to divinity school and becoming a minister, it's this poem that spoke to me. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble, and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried, but you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough, and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life that you could save. Well, it's spring, but it really doesn't feel like it. There's no sign of green grass, no flowers yet. But there it is on my calendar, the vernal equinox. So it must be. And I am 60 years old tomorrow, and it doesn't feel like that either. At least not most of the time. But there it is on my calendar, March 24th, 2014, and I can't believe it. It seems impossible that I've spent 60 years on this earth. Where did the time go? I can't even call myself middle-aged anymore. I have been eligible for senior discounts at many places for years, and with this birthday, I will become eligible for more. I have thus far still resisted joining AARP, but I am no longer shocked to get their solicitations in the mail. It seems to me that time goes by with greater and greater speed. But it did not always seem that way. As a young child, I was the one who, 10 minutes into the journey, was asking, "Are we there yet?" Excited about where we're going, but for me, at that age, it was never about the journey, but only about getting there. The journey didn't matter, just the destination. We used to play car games in order to try and encourage me to give a little more attention to the good times of the journey and stop asking that question. And if we were driving after dark, we counted pediddles. Do you know what they are? Cars with only one headlight coming towards you. To get a point, you had to call out the pediddle first, but you had to be very careful because if it turned out to be a motorcycle, which of course has only one headlight, instead of a true pediddle, you would lose points. This was just one of the many ways which my family tried to keep me from asking that question, "Are we there yet?" I think that sense of time moving too slowly continued into my life even after childhood years. And I would double up on courses in college to get my degree sooner so I could get onto law school. I was looking for my first job as a lawyer long before I passed the bar exam. Even with respect to a few things today, like the construction of our new building, it seems that time is going too slowly, and I just want to get things done. But for the most part, time, which once seemed to pass way too slowly for me, now seems to be rushing by, It is as if the ticking of the clock, if you can still find a clock that ticks, is going faster. Now I want to slow it down. I want to pay more attention to the journey. In part, I'm sure that because it's 60, there just aren't as many things to look forward to. I'm not going to start another career or start a family. And some of the things that are surely in my future, I'm either ambivalent about or not particularly looking forward to. Yes, there are still plenty of things I want to get done in my life, but my focus has shifted. The journey is much more important. This morning I want to do as our hymn just said we should do, sing out praises for the journey and share a few things that have come to me as I reflect upon it. I actually feel a bit uncomfortable reflecting on my birthday. It's just another day, and in truth, I rather like it when it passes by unnoticed. But 60 seems like a big one with something to say. 10 years ago from this pulpit, I preached about turning 50. And while on retreat this week, I was reflecting upon the journey of the last 10 years, asking myself, what has life taught me in this decade? What have been the changes since 50, and what have I learned? A few things were rather humorous, and some were rather heavy, but I suspect they're all pretty typical. I hope that by sharing some of them, you might better connect with the lessons learned, the love and joy experienced, even the pain and tears from tough times in your life. They teach us a great deal about who we are and what we have to bring to the world. As Mary Oliver said, and I paraphrase a bit, it's already late enough and a wild night, and the road is full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, the stars begin to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there's a new voice, which you slowly recognize as your own, that keeps you company as you go deeper and deeper into the world. So, okay, let's start. Well, last week, when I was getting a haircut, the topic of my birthday came up. And when the haircut was complete, my hairstylist spun the chair around so I could see in the mirror and said, "Look, we've taken off 10 years. I bet that after a new hairstyling, or maybe after losing a few pounds, many of you have looked into a mirror and had those same words come to mind. It's almost a programmed response in our culture. But after he said it to me, I began to think about the words. What 10 years did we take off? The rich 10 years of love and, yes, some struggle, of experience and wisdom that I've just had, the ones that have enriched my life, allowed me to give of myself to others, and draw new and deeper meaning of who I am and what in me is true, those 10 years? The last 10 years have had their ups and downs for me, but I really don't want to get rid of them. I want to savor them and mind them for their meaning. This morning, I want to share with you some of what this past decade has brought into my life and the hope it will lead you to recall and name and explore some of the events in your life's journey. First, I couldn't start without saying that in the last 10 years, we together have accomplished a lot. We've grown in every way here, from numbers and budgets to spiritual depth and community strength. I've come to be really part of this place and grown in a deeper relationship with this congregation. I've walked with many of you in your struggles and your celebrations, and I've walked with many who are no longer with us. It's been a privilege to be with you and to learn from you. You know, congregations teach ministers real ministry, not divinity schools. And I've learned a lot in this past decade, both from the things I did right and the ones where I've fallen short. And I'm a different, and I think and hope, better minister than I was 10 years ago. But it's some of the personal journey of the last 10 years that I really want to share with you this morning. And why not start with what was, without a doubt, the life experience that most affected me in those years. In the past decade, like many of you, I was diagnosed with cancer. When I heard the word cancer and my name in the same sentence, it was as if the world had stopped. I was not expecting the diagnosis. I had no symptoms. A routine test revealed the cancer. In the weeks after the diagnosis, I was adrift. It was not yet something that I was ready to share with others, and it was somewhat difficult to continue with certain aspects of my ministry as so many heavy thoughts occupied my mind. Just about a week after my diagnosis, I had to do a funeral, and I happened to look at the death certificate of the deceased, something I don't usually do, and I saw that that person had died of the same cancer that I had. For a moment, the name on the death certificate changed to mine. I thought to myself, how can I possibly do this service? But an inner strength came over me, and I threw myself into it, and it went well. A tear came to my eye once during the service, and I'm not sure if it was for me or for the person who'd passed away. This experience made me profoundly aware of my mortality. I understood in a new and much deeper way that life does not last forever. I've since had successful cancer treatment and those regular nail-biting checkups, and I'm in good health. The treatment was not easy, but not anywhere near as tough as some folks have had to endure. I had ministered to folks with cancer before, and I think I was okay at it. But now there is a different minister who ministers to them. One who has not sympathy, but empathy and understanding. At a personal level, this experience more than any other has taught me to value every minute of the journey, to see all of life as a gift, and to not sweat the small stuff. Of course, I would rather not have had cancer, but still I have been blessed by the experience. It is a blessing that I would not know without the experience. It has led me to a deeper place in my life and in my ministry. Turning in another direction, my partner Malcolm and I are blessed to have both of our parents living at this point in our lives. Three of the four of them are still in very good health and very active, but they're all in their mid to upper 80s, and things are changing. It's only in the past couple of years that I have actually thought of them as elderly. It is a time when I am having to take on more responsibility for their affairs. And even though I've cared for lots of elderly folks before, it is different when it is your parents. I see it as a beginning of a role reversal. But in helping them with matters now, I am in fact creating a new relationship with them. In some ways better than the one we had in the past. Some of the issues where there was conflict have just faded away. They no longer are important. And the love and connection seems more real. Engaging closely with them now, I recognize more than ever aspects of myself in them, both good and bad. And I think about the saying we sometimes hear, we all become our parents. And I wonder if that's happening to me. I learn in new ways from them about myself, and this experience carries over into my interactions with others. In this same 10-year period, a great joy has come into my life. I became the uncle of two nieces, now 8 and 6 years old. They live close to me, and I get to spend time with them, spoiling them primarily. I've always loved and enjoyed kids, especially little ones, but this is more than that. They're the closest I have to having my own children, and being with them gives me an opportunity to participate in their development. Doing so rejuvenates me. I get new perspective on the world when I see through the eyes of a child. I've learned so much about love and joy from both of them, and especially from the youngest, I've learned about courage and persistence. Nicole, now age 6, was born with Down syndrome. I've spoken of her before. She had a colonoscopy when she was 1 day old. She spent the first 2 months of her life in an intensive care unit, and she weighed only 8 pounds on her first birthday. The doctors said they didn't know if she would live, they didn't know if she would speak, they didn't know if she would walk, but she had spunk and real drive, and as she grew, she wanted to keep up with her older sister in every way. Today, she speaks quite well. She can read and do math, and with the help of a classroom aide, is making her way nicely through the first grade. She's a healthy child, full of energy and love. Yes, she has some limitations, but her life is a real blessing to all who engage with her. I feel a bit strange even telling that story, because even though there was a time when all I thought about was her Down syndrome and what she would probably not be able to do, now when I think of Nicole, Down syndrome does not even come into my mind. She's taught me that it's not about labels, not about being perfect, not about having it all. It's about using what you have to bless the world. Well, also in the past decade, I have to say that I have acquired a much better knowledge of human anatomy than I ever thought possible. I was a pre-med major in my first years of college, and I studied biology and learned about the names of the bones and the locations of the organs and how they worked. But I tell you, it takes a different kind of knowledge, an experiential one, to really know how the hip and shoulder are supposed to work and to really understand the precise location of the prostate gland and the gallbladder. I now understand what both being nearsighted and farsighted are. Having worn glasses for all my life for everything, I now find that I often take them off to read. And I save an extraordinary amount of time in the grocery store now, as I don't even try to read the fine print on the labels anymore. In the past decade, I have discovered hats. A few years ago, I discovered that my head was getting cold in the winter and I could feel the sun more strongly than usual in the summer. This prompted me to discover a whole new line of attire. I now have winter caps, dress hats, baseball hats, broad brim hats, gardening hats, and more. And although I once hated hats, I think I like them now. And finally, my understanding of metabolism has reached new heights. Something happens as you approach 60. You now can put on weight by just looking at food. It's really quite amazing. But all joking aside, I've experienced how eating healthy really does affect how my body feels and moves, and I try to do so, at least most of the time. A lot has happened in my 60 years, and during those years, there were many times in my life when I wanted to be different. I wanted to be smarter or to be athletic. I struggled with who I was. I wanted to be straight. I wanted to be rich and successful. I was always striving for something, trying to get there as fast as possible. Sure, now I still want some things, but it's different. I'm more focused on the day-to-day journey. Increasingly, I feel just grateful for who I am. It's not that I don't have some fears about what might be ahead, but I've discovered a lot about life to this point, and I know I will discover more. And in doing that, I will learn the lessons I need to meet the challenges of the next chapters. I find that my primary feeling about being 60 is one of gratitude. And with gratitude, increasingly comes the need to share, to use your gifts to help others. I feel that as I get older, I get closer to the truth, and I feel a greater kinship with all life in the world. I feel a sense of grace, of unearned blessings. I feel more spirit-filled and I feel more prayer-filled than I've ever felt before in my life. I think these are the gifts of entering a new season of life. You know, I'm glad my birthday coincides with the beginning of spring and the celebration of Easter often. It's a good time for a birthday. I'm not trying to take away anything from those of you who enjoy your fall or winter birthdays, but spring is a time for celebrating new life. The deep life that comes up from the ground, or the deep life that comes from the pains and the joys of 60 years on the journey. I hope this hasn't been a self-indulgent sermon. I hate self-indulgent sermons. Many of you are about my age, and many of you have already been there and done that, so I trust you can relate. Others of you are well on the way. I know not every day of your life is a celebration. There are times in your 30 or your 50 or your 80 years that life is pretty miserable. But the gifts we come to know in ourselves and the connections we make to all life can't help but bring us to a sense of gratitude for this gift of life, which was not of our choosing nor of our making, just a pure gift. More so every day, I love the journey. I feel life flowing through me. There are days when I have peace like a river and joy like a fountain and love like an ocean, as the hymn says. And there are days when I have pain like an arrow and tears like the raindrops do come down my face. Sometimes I feel weak and worn. Yet thus far in my life, my faith and my inner strength have come to meet the challenges. There is meaning in all of life's experiences. And for me, they continue to create and recreate who I am, and I'm grateful for all of them. It's not about reaching the goal as much as it is about experiencing the journey. I hope you're in touch with your journey and that it blesses your life as much as mine has my life.